Hello and welcome to Life with Purpose Radio. I'm Rod Hampton, your host, with more inspirational stories of people sharing Christ around the world. Juliana Smoke starts our preview of this week's stories.
Thanks, Rod. A strip club isn't a place that comes to mind when it comes to evangelism. We're going to hear how the Lord led a group of ladies to do just that.
I'm John Graham, and founder and author of the book Fallen, Annie Lobear, joins us on today's Culture Connection.
Hello, I'm Ron Lawson. Later, we'll meet a pastor of a church which exhibits extraordinary kingdom generosity.
I'm Myrna Brown. She became a Christian in college. And today, the singer-songwriter talks about how that relationship changed her life, her entire family.
Also today, from Texas to Ecuador, touching an unreached people group on our missionary moment. That's all today on this week's edition of Life with Purpose Radio. Reaching people where they are is not always easy. But here's a ministry to exploited women in their community, not far from their church. Juliana Smoke is here with a story on Life with Purpose Radio.
What would happen if your church ministered to those located right next door? Meredith Rabelais from Atlanta, Georgia, is a stay-at-home mother to four small children, and the Lord began to give her a heart for those in need in her church's neighborhood. She shares Jesus with women who work in the strip clubs nearby. And Meredith Rabelais joins us today on Life with Purpose Radio. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great, thank you. You know, I am sure the Lord is using you in a mighty way, offering hope to those who are being sexually exploited. Take us back to where it all began.
Just really when I surrendered my life to the Lord about 11 years ago, He just gave me a heart for women.
Mm-hmm. Well, and how do you go about taking the gospel inside the clubs?
God's just provided a lot of favor with the managers. They really kind of opened their doors to us. You know, the first few times we went in, we just explained who we were, just told them that we're there to love our neighbors. And so they kind of just opened their doors and let us in. And we've been doing it for a little over 3 years now. And we just roll up on a Friday night and they welcome us. So we have a group of men who are on our team that drive us once a month to the clubs, and they kind of stand in the parking lot and minister to some of the patrons that walk in. They've built incredible relationships with the valets and the managers. And then we have a group of women that go into the clubs, and we actually head back to the dressing rooms and just hang out with the girls who work there. We usually bring a gift or we bring some food and we offer it to them, and they are not used to receiving things with nothing in return. And so often they ask, why are you here? And we just say, we come to love our neighbors. We're from our church. Some girls are ready to receive prayers and some aren't receptive to it yet. So we just love them with no strings attached.
So you're just building those relationships and waiting for the doors to open.
Yes, it's all about establishing trust and building relationships with these girls in order to be able to share the gospel with them. We have to build that relationship with them so that they can trust us, and then we have a voice in their lives.
Right, right. And you all have had the opportunity to see the Lord open doors.
Oh, yeah. I mean, He's opened the doors in so many ways. We've built many, many friendships. We've sent girls to programs because ultimately we would like to see them come out of the life because we know God has so much more for them. So when they're ready, we always let them know that we're available. So we've had just a lot of things that we've done with them so that they feel comfortable in sharing their stories. And I mean, we've heard so many times, I've never told anyone this before.
Do you find that they're hungry to hear the truth?
The girls are hungry to hear the truth about who they are, who God says they are. They have been told so many lies about their worth or their lack thereof that they will never amount to anything else. And so we try to tell them the truth of how God sees them, that He sees them as beautiful, radiant daughters. And in Jesus, they're blameless and they're forgiven. And their shame is taken. And we see those girls just crave hearing that, ask questions. Okay, well, who is this Jesus who loves me like this? How could someone love me knowing what I've done and knowing what I currently do? And it just gives us a sweet opportunity to speak words of life into them.
Mm-hmm. You know, Meredith, it's amazing just to hear how the Lord has used you and continues to use you. But first, you were willing to follow the Lord wherever He led you. What would you say to someone who the Lord might be leading them to take the gospel in their church's neighborhood?
live life out of your comfort zone. I mean, God did not put us on this earth to be comfortable. God put us on this earth to fulfill the Great Commission, and that is to go and make disciples. And so where can you do that? Where is your house located? Where is your church located? Where are the places you hang out? And then just open your eyes to all of the opportunities around you and be willing to be rejected and embarrassed. I mean, sometimes we get rejected, and it's okay. We count it as joy. So God can use anyone. I have 4 small children. I'm a stay-at-home mom. You know, I feel like some people think, well, you know, what am I going to do? God can use anyone. As Christians, that is what he wants to do with us, is to use us to be a part of his story.
Well, Meredith, I really appreciate you taking the time to join us today.
Well, thank you. It's been my pleasure.
For Life with Purpose Radio, I'm Juliana Smoke.
Life with Purpose Radio.
Hi, this is Mike Griffin, Public Affairs Representative of the Georgia Baptist Convention. The fight for religious liberty has come to Georgia, and here's your opportunity to get involved. Please contact your Georgia State Representative and Senator and ask them to support the religious liberty legislation that has been introduced in the Georgia General Assembly. Now, for more information, go to gabaptist.org/public affairs. That's gabaptist.org/public affairs. God bless you, and thank you for standing up for our First Amendment rights.
Thank you for listening and being a part of Life with Purpose Radio. Annie Lobert is an advocate to men and women in the commercial sex trafficking industry. Her new book is called Fallen, and she's here with John Graham on today's Culture Connection.
Sex trafficking is an ever-growing problem, drawing in thousands of young girls and even boys into a multi-billion dollar industry. What can the church do to help? Annie Lobert is the founder of Hookers for Jesus, and her story is chronicled in her new book, Fallen. Annie, welcome to the show.
Hi, I'm so happy to be here.
Oh, it's a joy to have you, and I can't wait to dive into your book and get to know more about your story, but you're going to give us a little taste of that now. How did you get started in the sex industry?
Well, you know, no one really grows up and says, hey, I'm going to be a stripper or I'm going to be a prostitute. I actually grew up in a very volatile home environment. My father was an alcoholic, and he was abusing my mother in front of me, us kids, and so I had a very low self-esteem. I noticed that the young gentleman started looking at me, and I really gravitated towards that attention because I wasn't getting that from my father in the right way. So even though I was broken and shattered on the inside, I was sexually abused at 8 and 9 by a close family friend as well. I still, when I left high school, didn't think that I was going to choose the sex industry as a job, and went to the clubs one night, and me and my girlfriend met these two men that looked like they had money. My girlfriend starts dating one of the men. He takes her to Hawaii. It's what they call in the game. He turns her out, turns her into a prostitute, and she's on the street selling herself, making a plethora of money. Calls me up and says, hey, I have this new gig for you, and you're going to be blown away. The money is that good. And that first night, I sold myself. It was so alluring, and it made me feel in control finally in my life. Worked at the exotic strip dancing clubs. A man walks in a couple months into it, and he's very handsome. He swept me off my feet, and love took over. The first night I worked, he basically took the money I made and beat the living daylights out of me in the backyard of my girlfriend's house. I couldn't leave because he had threatened me, threatened my family. He had guns.
You were obviously dealing with physical violence, dealing with the betrayal that you felt. Did the sexual stuff start to erode your soul as well, or was it just kind of secondary to the other?
When you're in the sex industry as a call girl, as a prostitute, you're selling yourself over and over and over to all these different men. It chips away at the interior part of your spirit and your being and your soul. You desensitize yourself. My other part that kept me in the business was the extreme fear. You're conditioned into believing that you can't leave. And as each day came and went, my soul became so embittered and hardened. There was a point that I snapped. I had nightmares. I had anxieties. I was afraid to walk to my car.
Wow.
I was afraid to leave my house. I had agoraphobia for a while. And then when I resurfaced into the girl I was supposed to be, the woman I was supposed to be, she didn't know who she was anymore.
I'm assuming God intervened here in some huge way.
Yes, he did. Many times, actually.
Yeah.
You know, I believe this to be true, that when I was a little girl, when I said to Jesus, Jesus, come into my heart. Please forgive me of my sins. Come and live inside of me. I don't think he ever left me. It's August 2nd, 2003. I overdosed on cocaine, and I cried out to God. And I promised him that I would never go back, just like woman at the well,
yeah.
How Jesus said to her, if you drink this water, you'll never thirst again. And that's exactly what happened to me.
Well, tell me a little bit about Hookers for Jesus. What happens in this organization?
I knew that he called me to go down on the strip and talk to the women that were in sex slavery, that were being sex trafficked, that they are beautiful, that they are loved, that they have value, that there is an amazing, incredible, divine destiny for them out there, that if I could just introduce God to them, that somehow that would change the trajectory of their life and where it was going. And Hookers for Jesus basically stands for Matthew 4:19, which says, I will teach you how to fish for people. So I am a fisher of people. And after the girls, I met them on the strip, and we started Destiny House. And it's a place where the girls can dream again, discover who they are, and, you know, develop into the women that they're meant to be.
What can the church do to help you?
You know, you guys can pray for me.
Absolutely.
We want to bring as many women here as we can in Las Vegas and eventually start Destiny Houses in other cities. Pray that the love of God increases in all of us for the women and the men that are being abused, and even for the pimps, and even for the men that are buying the girls. You know, I pray for the heart of the church, that the church also would just not be judgmental.
Well, Annie, thank you again. And the book is called Fallen, and we will, you have our word that we will pray for you and for your ministry.
Thank you. You too.
Till next time, this is John Graham bringing you The Culture Connection.
Here on Life with Purpose Radio, you hear stories of people living their lives with purpose and stories of caring Christians around the world. And we hope that you're encouraged to live your life with purpose. We hope you'll take just a few minutes and connect with us at Life with Purpose Radio. A few ways you can do that. It's as simple as going to Facebook/LWP Radio. Once again, Facebook.com/LWP Radio or Twitter @LWP Radio. And email is always a good choice. Our email address is stories@lifewithpurposeradio.com. Again, that's stories@lifewithpurposeradio.com. And give us your questions, comments, and story suggestions, and let us hear from you today. Hey, we do have a free book offer. It's the devotional book called Words of Life from Dr. J. Robert White, Executive Director of the Georgia Baptist Convention. To get it free, just go to lifewithpurposeradio.com/freebook. One more time, lifewithpurposeradio.com/freebook. It's just our way of saying thanks for being a listener to the program. Now, on with our stories. How about it, Myrna?
Thanks, Rod. She grew up happy, but without Christ. She became a Christian in college, and now this singer-songwriter talks about how that relationship not only changed her life, but her entire family.
All right, thanks, Myrna. Also ahead is a story of how a church in Texas is helping to touch the lives of an unreached people group in Ecuador through international missions on today's Missionary Moment. But first, we go over to Ron Lawson in the Life with Purpose radio studio for the story of What Does It Take to Be a Generous Church?
Generosity is a cornerstone of the Christian faith, and it's the nature of God as He shows His love and generosity through the gift of His Son, Jesus Christ. Dr. J. Robert White, Executive Director for the Georgia Baptist Convention, talks with a pastor who leads his congregation to be generous in their money, talents, and time. Let's listen.
I'm very pleased to be speaking on the phone today with Pastor Derry Kittle, who for the past 20 years has served the Salem Baptist Church in Dalton, Georgia. Derry, thank you so much for being with us on Life with Purpose Radio.
Thank you very much, Dr. White. It's always an honor to speak with you.
You know, Derry, God has led our Georgia Baptist family to emphasize five major areas. We call them five smooth stones. This past year, we've spent a great deal of time focusing on spiritual renewal. Another of those emphases is kingdom generosity, church revitalization, church planting, and authentic evangelism. Now, I'm very interested in speaking with you about kingdom generosity. I've had the privilege of being with you and your church and experiencing your wonderful congregation on several occasions, and I know you to be a very generous-hearted pastor and your congregation to be generous. We think about the words of Paul who taught us in 2 Corinthians 9:7 to be cheerful givers, and knowing that you're that kind of a leader and your church is that kind of a church. We have lay folks in local churches and pastors who are listening. Could you just share with us from your own heart, what makes a generous church a generous church?
Well, Dr. White, I think when you look at Jesus' life from the Gospels, he was about other people. Mm-hmm. He never served himself. He came not to be served, but to serve. And I think that's also in giving and going and serving. So we've just tried to lead our church in that direction, and our whole mission statement is about others.
That's a great word. And, you know, as the pastor of the church, I know that you feel the weight of responsibility as a church leader in guiding your congregation. How do church leaders and pastors encourage generosity in their congregations?
Well, it's so easy to turn inward and look to our own needs. And many churches die on the words, what's in it for us, you know, or what about our little church? And we've just tried to focus on outward needs, needs that's not necessarily connected with our congregation, but how our congregation can actually benefit the lives of other people and reach out into the community and engage our culture in ministering to them.
That's a great response. I was talking to a pastor a while back and talking about supportive missions through the cooperative program of Southern Baptist and Georgia Baptist. You know what his response was?
What's that?
Well, what's in it for us?
Yeah.
You know,
that happens so often, and that's very sad.
Well, my response was, what's in it for you is the joy of knowing you're supporting preaching of the gospel all across the world in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost corners of the earth. I mean, where could there be greater joy than know that you're participating in that worldwide?
Yes, sir. I've just finished in Thanksgiving season talking from Philippians chapter 4, mm-hmm. where Paul was essentially writing a thank you note to the church at Philippi for what they had sent him through Epaphroditus. And in 4:17, he said, not that I desire a gift, but that fruit may abound to your account. And I think churches are blessed by kingdom generosity, giving to others. Most of the time, others that can't give anything in return. But God makes up the difference.
Absolutely. And that's a wonderful word for us to remember. Could you just share an example, perhaps, of an individual or a Sunday school class or a mission team in your church that has demonstrated kingdom generosity?
Wow, it's sort of hard to narrow it down to just one or two. In fact, we encourage all of our teachers as part of their job description. It's really leading their classes in kingdom generosity and serving others in some way. We have a lot of projects. We actually help churches are in our area that are doing a building project. We will go and have men to serve and help to put on roofs and rebuild Sunday school areas and those kind of things. There's just mission projects that we are part of. And in our local area, we do about 180 backpacks for children who are hungry on the weekends. Yeah. Their families do not have enough food, so we pack food in a backpack at school. And the kids take it home, and that's what feeds that family in the weekends. And we have about 180 of those that we do every week. The list could go on and on. We've helped people buy cars and get transportation for widow ladies that are raising grandkids and those kind of things. And we're just trying to be sensitive to the needs of other people.
Absolutely. And it's making a huge difference in your area and beyond your area. I want to speak of something that may be rather mechanical at this particular point about the actual process of giving. But when I was in your church not long ago, I noticed that you had a special means by which people in your church could give financially. Could you just tell us about that electronic station that I saw in your hallway there?
Yes, sir. We started an online giving through our website, but then we also have a kiosk there in the church. As our culture has gotten cashless, you can actually swipe a card and give to missions or whatever the project or whatever their tithes or building fund, whatever they want to do right there in the church, because a lot of times that's the way they purchase their groceries and pay
that's
other
right.
things. So it just makes it very convenient for them to have the opportunity to be generous. Sometimes we do offerings that are not announced or anything,
yes.
and it gives people an opportunity to participate that normally would not have cash in their pocket.
I think that's a wonderful thing, and culturally we've become accustomed to that. It didn't look much like an offering plate, but it served as an offering plate.
That's right.
Well, I love a pastor who's looking for ways to help his congregation be generous in their giving and be obedient to God's word. I want to thank you for your example, Derry, as a leader, for the example of your congregation who live out their lives with kingdom generosity. I've been talking with Derry Kittle, who's pastor at the Salem Baptist Church in Dalton, Georgia, a church that's committed to the cause of Christ and reaching people with the good news of the gospel all around the world. Derry, thank you so much for being with us on Life with Purpose Radio.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. White. I really appreciate the privilege.
For more information on kingdom generosity, go to our website, lifewithpurposeradio.com. For Life with Purpose Radio, I'm Ron Lawson.
This Christian artist has a burden for teenage girls to discover their true identity and purpose in Christ. Here's Myrna Brown with singer-songwriter Jamie Jim Goshian on Life with Purpose Radio.
Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy praise. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise.
She's a singer-songwriter who learned to play piano by ear as a child. Her love of music led to a scholarship at Berklee School of Music, and that's where her story really takes off. Joining us on Life with Purpose Radio is Jamie Jim Goshian. Welcome, Jamie.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Oh, our pleasure. Jamie, I want to start off talking about how you grew up, and you did not grow up a Christian. Tell us about that.
I grew up in a wonderful family. I'm from the Boston, Massachusetts area, and we were taught three things in our faith as children, my sister and I, just to be a good person, to love this big God, and then one day you will go to heaven. And I can remember just, you know, always believing in God and trying to do the right thing and trying to be a good person and make the right choices, but I knew I was missing something. And in college, some of those choices began to be a little bit more challenging, and it was the end of my senior year of college, and I was making some just hard decisions, and, you know, in college, you're trying to figure out what you're going to do with your life and where you're going to go, and I was really searching for truth and for hope, and it was through a classmate in a songwriting class. She heard me sing a song saying that God can give you strength that I had written. And in that moment, she says now that she knew that, you know, I didn't know the Lord yet. And she came right over to me and she asked, do you know the Lord? And I said, no. And through that friendship, she began to tell me about salvation in Christ and being born again and having a relationship with Jesus. And I can honestly say at 21 years of age, that was the first time I had ever heard those words or had been taught about what it meant to follow Jesus.
What was it about the song that, that you know, led her to that revelation?
She said she could tell I was always searching for truth. I think what had happened is that song I had written gave her an opportunity to share her faith.
You go home, and you're a Christian. And so what is the response from your family?
I remember calling my parents and saying, Mom, Dad, guess what? I got saved. And they were like, what? And I told them, you know, I'm now in a relationship with Jesus and I've been born again. And I can remember my sweet dad, he was worried that I was in a cult. It was about a year later, I had moved from Boston to Seattle to intern at an awesome church. And it was there that I started leading worship and really growing in my faith. And during that time, both my mom and my dad and my sister and my Nana, they all came to know the Lord about a year later, which was just, of course, so incredible to see happen.
What joy. What joy.
Yes.
What a great story.
You know, he's not just after our hearts, but it says the entire household.
That's right.
And I always love to encourage people that are praying for family members or loved ones. The thing that stuck out to me the most about my friend Stacy, who led me to the Lord, it wasn't that she was trying to shove her face down my throat, so to speak, but it was more the way she lived. That drew me in more than anything she could have ever said. It was the life that she lived that really displayed who Jesus was to me.
That's an important thing that believers need to hear.
Everything you are is everything. Everything you are is good. Everything you are is everything I need, Jesus. Everything you are is so good.
Now, you are working on a new project.
Well, I have a real passion to see young girls, teen girls, and particularly, really know where their value and their worth comes from.
having not grown up serving the Lord, I know I found a lot of my value in the way I looked or in how thin I was or if I was measuring up to all the images that media and Hollywood are putting out. And as we know as believers, our true identity and worth has got to be in Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And so I have this movement I've started called Modest is Hottest. Hmm. And it's a really fun girls' conference that we've done all over the world, as well as releasing a new music project that is set to be released, hopefully, by the end of 2015, even a special song that I do at these girls' events called Just the Way You Are. There's a song that I got to record, one of my favorites, and it's simply called Everything You Are. I wrote it during a time where I'm still single, and I was really wrestling with that and just, you know, crying out to God. I got to this point in life where I realized that no matter what happens with career or if I'm ever married, that Jesus has got to be enough and that everything he is everything that our true souls need.
Thanks so much for taking the time to speak with us, Jamie Jemgoshian.
You too.
And for Life with Purpose Radio, I'm Myrna Brown.
Today's missionary moment takes us to Ecuador via Texas, here on Life with Purpose Radio.
We'll be working in specific areas with Johnny Moss and Donna Moss to reach this unreached people group in Ecuador, the Afro-Ecuadorians. Seeing human beings who walk like us, talk like us, they just speak a different language, but they have so much love in their hearts. They're good people, kind people, but yet they don't know Jesus. And to know that these good people without Christ are lost. And if they die, they will be lost for eternity. It moves me and it moves others to give. We're not where we want to be with Body Moon Offering, but now that I know and now that we see that we can have a direct impact in addition to the cooperative program dollars, we want to step it up and we're going to step it up. And we're going to continue our CP giving, but we're also going to increase our Lottie Moon offerings because we know that both work in tremendous ways. Spreading the gospel across the world, not just here around the block, but around the world. And it's just a joy to know that we're in this together.
For more information about North American and international missionaries, head to lifewithpurposeradio.com and follow the links under today's program date. On Life with Purpose Radio, we believe that the truth of Christ is to be shared with everyone. We hope these stories have inspired you to live life with purpose. As you heard about Ministry to Exploiting Women, Fallen, Kingdom Generosity, singer Jamie Jemgoshian, and Ministry to the Afro-Ecuadorian People Group. Well, we'll see you next time for more stories of people living their lives of purpose, and visit us online at lifewithpurposeradio.com for information on today's stories. Life with Purpose Radio is a production of the Georgia Baptist Convention. Dr. J. Robert White, Executive Director, and in association with Southern Baptist State Conventions and Agencies, including the International Mission Board and the North American Mission Board, and is made possible by gifts through the Cooperative Program. I'm Rod Hampton, and from everyone here, thank you for listening to Life with Purpose Radio.